The bright light from the room blinds Jordan's eyes, forcing him to cover his eyes. He examines the room, rising from the cot, making out the freshly painted teal walls around him. The room is scented with roses and has a feeling of recreation. He felt calm, but this feeling would go away at the sight in front of him. Empty beds with blankets stained with blood covered the room. The stench of roses soon turns to death, permeating the room. From this room alone, he knew he was in the portrait world, the place where Sebastian resides, waiting to torture and kill people who entered the asylum. His first steps onto the grounds created a rush of vertigo that conveyed his vision, nearly causing him to pass out. Grabbing his head, Jordan mumbles to himself,
"Okay, take your time. Just went into another world. Let's get out of this room, one step at a time."
He clutches the wall, using it to help reach the door on the other side of the room. Stumbling across the room, he reaches the door's handle, opening it to exit the room. The room beyond reveals a white corridor. Unlike the earlier room, it was a utopia. There were neither signs of death or torture. Instead, paintings of trees and weather fill the hall line. It was pleasing to know Sebastian has an excellent style in art besides pictures of death. Suddenly, a dark-haired man with green eyes wearing a white lab coat notices Jordan. They both exchange a stolid and stressful stare down. The man approaches him. Jordan feels a rush of fear. Jacob never told him what to do if one of the doctors tried to talk to him. He had two situations to get past this. The first was to run from the doctor, creating a scene. The second one is to talk to the doctor and blend in with the patients there. The doctor scans Jordan with an expression of surprise in his eyes. Scratching his head, he asks in a questioning tone,
"What do we have here, a new patient? What are you doing out of your room?"
Before Jordan could reply, the doctor taps the clipboard with his pen. Curiously, the doctor says,
"Wait, I've never seen you here. Could you be the one the headmaster fears?"
Jordan shakes his head in confusion.
"What are you talking about?"
The doctor's expression turns to fear as sweat pours down his face. His hands shake intensively as a quavering force takes over him. In a trembling tone, he expresses the fear in his voice.
You're Jordan Myers?
The doctor walks back, nearly tripping over himself. Jordan steps forward, itching his head, confused by the man's question.
"What if I am? What does this have to do with your sudden change of behavior?"
The doctor's face grows red with terror.
"The headmaster, he desires to obtain you. I can't let him know you're here. If he sees me talking to you, I'll be embedded with feelings of pain I've never felt in my life."
With those words, the doctor walks away. Jordan stands there, shocked by what the doctor said. This is the real deal. Sebastian controls this place and everyone. He doesn't pursue the doctor, thinking it would be best to keep his notice to a minimum. Before he advances, he notices the clipboard the doctor previously held on the ground. He picks it up. Three papers are on it. The first is labeled Patients. On it are the names of everyone inside the asylum. He almost flips the page over before one name catches his attention. Matthew Richardson. Jordan couldn't believe what he was seeing. His friend, the one he thought to be dead, was here, in the portrait world. He didn't know where to look. Desperately, he searched, flipping over the next piece of paper showing the second page. On the second paper is a map. There are three circled rooms covered in blue highlighter with labels of their room names under them. The first reads Headmaster's Office. The sight of the word Headmaster makes Jordan shudder. There was no way his first destination would be there. The second highlighted room says patient registration, and the third, Sebastian's private chamber. God only knew what that implied. After a study of the three rooms, he concludes on patient registration. If Matt were in the asylum, that would be the best place to look for clues. On the way to patient registration, Jordan takes in the looks of the building. This is what the asylum looked like in its working days, unlike the destroyed-looking one in his world. This one is full of clean, open patient rooms. Doctors and nurses fill the halls with working equipment. Its appearance presents it as a standard hospital, but something wasn't right. When you would come into a person's view, be it a doctor or patient, their eyes opened in terror. People who were talking became mute. Though he never talked to any of them, it looked like they were muttering the words, "help," under their breaths. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't do it now. He had to find Matt and destroy this place, he thinks to himself, as he enters the room marked patient registration above it. As soon as Jordan enters the room, he sees a shade of green surrounding the room. Small groups of men and women in catatonic states are seated in wheelchairs, staring at the wall in separate corners of the room. Some patients, who had some sense in them, look at him, giving him an uncanny feeling. Some are wide-eyed, while others smile apprehensively. Ignoring the distractions, he sees a young woman with blonde hair and blue eyes in a nursing outfit, writing in a notebook behind a desk. Suspecting this to be a nurse, he approaches her, clearing his throat, getting her attention. She raises her head unfazed, and in an unpleasant tone, asks,
"Why are you wearing a patient gown, sir?"
He forgot about the gown. Jordan nervously tries to come up with the best lie he could think of.
"Oh, well, you see, I came here to ask for a fresh set of clothes because I was ready to leave."
She stares at him with blue eyes and a tiresome voice.
"Sir, no one leaves this place."
The last sentence makes his stomach drop. Did Jacob lie? Is there no way out? Knowing it would be best if he didn't wear a gown, he asks,
"Can you give me some new clothes? I don't like the gown I'm wearing."
The nurse grunts, standing up from her chair as she enters the room behind her. With the woman gone, he looks over the desk to study the notebook she was writing in. The labeled words, patient numbers, and ward locations in the notebook got his attention. He glances across the room, noticing the people no longer paying attention to him. Quickly, he grabs the notebook, sliding it into one of the pockets on the gown. A minute later, the nurse arrives at the desk, handing Jordan a shirt and blue trousers. She rolls her eyes, asking,
"Is there anything else you need?"
He readies to leave before an overwhelming noise comes from the right side of the room. A set of men in white lab coats walks through a door, turning their attention to one of the men in the wheelchairs.
"The headmaster will see you now, Mr. Woodson."
The man in the wheelchair, who Jordan presumes to be Mr. Woodson, shouts into a frenzy. The once catatonic inmate, who sat in the corner inaudibly, was now screaming indiscriminately.
"No, no, anyone but the headmaster, help me, please. Someone help me."
The group of men restrains him while another pulls a syringe from his pocket, pushing it into his arm. Mr. Woodson's movements start to become slower and slower before his eyes close. Quietly, the woman at the corner lets out a chuckle.
"The headmaster will surely enjoy this one,"
she says, grinning ear to ear.
"What do you mean, enjoy?"
Jordan spins around, asking the lady. She stares off in the distance, speaking absentmindedly.
"Sebastian loves to hear those who scream of fear and anguish from those he tortures. In his dark and twisted mind, one thing repeats that he tells us again and again. The longer the pieces of my collection fear death, the more they will beg and cry to be free, even though such a thing as freedom never existed.
With those final words, Jordan exits the patient's registration as quickly as he entered. If he could guess what she meant by her little speech, the man would die terribly. Out in the hall, he is watching the staff walk around, tending to the sick. Jordan holds the notebook close to his chest, the only clue to finding Matt in his hands. Again, the sight of Jordan causes everyone to suspend their actions or conversation. Their eyes burn into his skin as they gaze at him, doing nothing else. He does his best to ignore it, before finding an empty storage closet. He locks the door behind him, putting on the shirt and the trousers the nurse gave him. Now better dressed, he pulls out the notebook, scanning through it. Most of the pages contain useless information except for the last page. Patients' numbers and locations are what he needed. The page displays patient numbers, serial numbers, and locations of the patients. He starts to read the journal in his head. Dana Hoxter, patient number 342, Ward C. Ivan Stewart, patient number 264, Ward C. Matthew Richardson, patient number 547, Ward B. Knowing Matt's location, Jordan opens the door to the storage closet. He's met by an unfamiliar scene, making him drop the notebook. The hall is empty. Moments ago, it was full of people. Now there wasn't a person in sight. The portraits on the walls were what caught his attention. It was Mr. Woodson, the man whom Jordan saw in the patient registration room. When Jordan last saw him, he had a trimmed gray beard and seemed to be a short man. The details were vague due to the distance between them. Across the wall, portraits show torture he went through. No doubt Sebastian's work. In some of them, he has no skin on his body. Others showed organs and puddles of blood on the floor beneath him. The horrific detail shown in a certain one is the last one in the hall. It displays Mr. Woodson held to a wooden stick, hoisted by chains in the appearance of a crucifixion. His stomach shows open wounds by some type of sharp object. Jordan covers his mouth, attempting not to gag. The people here don't deserve this. He was the only one who could set the people free. Squinting through the portraits, he could outline scribbled words with an arrow pointing left. Cautiously, he walks up to it, reading the words to himself. Ward B, rooms 500 to 575. Jordan races down the hall, watching the numbers on the rooms start to decrease until room 547 is in front of him. He grasps the doorknob, pushing the door open with absolute silence. The room is dark, covered in all white except for a bed in the middle. Someone lays on the bed, coughing weakly. Slowly, Jordan approaches it, whispering,
"Matt, is that you?"
A quiet grunt of acknowledgement comes from the person in the bed. Taking this to be Matt, Jordan walks to the bed, overtaken with joy to see his friend again before a familiar voice comes from the bed.
"Mistake."
Suddenly, two figures enter the room, blocking the entrance. They let out a small laugh, pointing to the bed behind. Instantly, a slight pinch across the side of Jordan's neck sends him barreling to the floor. He turns to see Sebastian rising from the bed, holding a syringe. He claps his hands together, the sinister smile forming across his face.
"Well, well, look who we have here. The famous Jordan Myers,"
Sebastian says playfully. Jordan tries to rise to his feet, taking the needle out of his neck, coughing along the way as he weakly says,
"Go fuck yourself."
Looking down, Sebastian smirks. His red eyes fill the room with an exhilarating tone. He says with glee,
"You know something? I've heard so much about you from the figures, and that talk you had with Jacob was just brilliant.
Sebastian kicks Jordan's hand, causing him to fall to the ground once more.
I didn't think I'd be able to meet you. You're the first person to escape my figures. You escaped death. Too bad your friends weren't so lucky.
He kneels beside him, whispering like a snake.
Isn't it poetic after all this time? You belong to me now.
Again, Jordan tries to rise to his feet, attempting to speak, but the syringe's effects soon make him unconscious. The last words he hears before the world goes black is,
"Don't waste your energy. Shortly you'll be dreaming, and when you awake, we can have fun."
Sebastian says to Jordan, laughing maniacally.
I have special plans for you.
Jordan awakens, finding himself tied to a chair, his wrists bound to both sides, refusing him to move. Attempting to figure out where he is, he looks around the room, yelling,
"Help! Help! Is anyone there?"
His question is met with complete silence. He could do nothing but look at the wall in front of him. The room resents a revolting shade of red. He looks around, seeing engravings on the wooden panel. They are in a language he can't understand. Portraits of people in different tortured positions fill the room. Across the room, Jordan notices a group of surgical instruments with the words "Playtime Instruments" on them. Neatly across it are scissors, an iron rod, a pot of boiled water, a thumb screw, and pliers. He tries again to free his bindings, but to no avail. Suddenly, the door opens behind him. Sebastian enters the room. His expression shows a demented smile, giving the message these next few minutes were going to be painful. Jordan snaps at Sebastian.
"What the fuck do you think you're smiling about, you psycho? Let me go."
Sebastian shakes his finger, looking into the boy's eyes, taunting him.
"Sorry, I can't do that. You've already escaped me once, and I can't let it happen again. After all, I have a reputation to keep around here. But now that you're awake, we can finally get to work."
Jordan hisses at Sebastian.
"You're fucking insane."
Sebastian lets off a slight sarcastic shrug.
"Funny, I don't hear that one a lot."
Jordan pleads.
"All these people you've hurt, they don't deserve this. I don't deserve this."
Sebastian, ignoring the speech across the room, moves the table of the torturous instruments beside him. He lets out a sigh as he picks up a scalpel.
"Has Jacob been telling you sob stories?"
Sebastian's dead eyes study the tool with hellacious interest.
"Don't you realize that these people are incurable? The only thing they deserve is pain and misery for what they've done to other people."
Jordan retorts.
"Jacob told me what you did to your patients. The paintings and the murders. How could you do it?"
"They're incurable."
Sebastian's detached tone morphs into an aggressive growl.
"I was willing to do what others couldn't."
Jordan scoffs at him.
"So that meant killing them and trapping their souls into portraits?"
Sebastian smashes his fist into the table, but takes a deep breath to restrain himself. He calmly sets the scalpel down on the table. His long fingers coil across the table's edge like 10 dead serpents. Cracks and snaps echo through the room. A spark of madness ignites Sebastian's widening eyes as he explains.
"God can't judge these people. Only I can."
"You're not even human,"
Jordan whispers. Tilting his head, Sebastian chuckles evilly.
"You make it sound like you're in hell."
"This is hell. The way you treat these people."
Sebastian smirks wickedly with a satanic tone.
"There's something I want you to know, and that is this. This place isn't hell."
His smirk now ear to ear.
"I am what makes it hell."
He quickly reaches for the pliers, inserting them into Jordan's mouth. But Jordan counters, biting down onto Sebastian's finger. With a groan of pain, he removes his finger from Jordan's mouth, looking at it in pain. A short expression of hurt forms on his face, turning to a frightful laugh. The feeling of surprise creeps on him, seeing blood from his finger. The collective doctor shows the expression of a surprised man. In a hellacious tone, Sebastian whispers,
"You'll pay for that."
Jordan spits at him.
"Go ahead. Do your worst."
Sebastian opens a cabinet from the table, revealing a set of mouth props. Quickly, he forces the mouth props into Jordan's mouth. With the prop now inside, he couldn't close his mouth. Again, Sebastian pushes the pliers into his mouth, grasping two of Jordan's teeth, pulling them out. Blood streams from Jordan's mouth as he screams out in pain, making him struggle for air. The feeling of torment rushes through his body, causing him to nearly pass out.
"See, that wasn't hard now, was it?"
Sebastian says, wiping the blood off his face. Jordan doesn't blink at the question. Instead, he coughs out blood, landing on Sebastian. Slowly wiping the blood from his face, he sighs in disappointment.
"I was going to say this for last, but you've forced my hand. Now I'm going to make you scream."
Sebastian eyes the thumbscrew with the smile of a serpent. He grabs it, admiring the device in the light. Jordan widens his eyes with shock.
"What the fuck is that?"
His eyes were glued to the gadget in front of him. Sebastian explains,
"This item is called a thumbscrew. Thomas Clarkson created it in the 1800s to crush prisoners' fingers, and because you're misbehaving, that will cost you a finger."
He puts the contraption into Jordan's index finger. With a slow turn, the device activates, twisting his finger sideways, hearing sharp cracks. With the blood dripping from his mouth, Jordan cries out,
"Why are you doing this to me?"
He screams, trying to break the restraints.
"When you entered my asylum, one of your friends broke a portrait of mine. These portraits mean everything to me. It shows my accomplishments and how I've changed the world for the better. Your friend destroyed something significant to me. I believe his name was Jeff?"
Sebastian says, scratching his chin in self-assurance. Jeff's name makes Jordan jump from the chair, nearly breaking the restraints. Jordan growls, his voice consumed by madness.
"Don't you dare talk about him like that. He did nothing to you."
Sebastian winks.
"The mention of your friend strikes a nerve, does it?"
The machine finishes with one final crunch. Jordan's index finger was dangling, tossed in the opposite direction of where it originally was. Sebastian puts his hands on his cheeks, smiling.
"Such a beautiful sight, isn't it? The sounds of pain and vision of grief on a person's face. It makes me smile so much."
He looks Jordan in the eye with sharp words, playfully saying,
"Just like Matt."
Jordan's voice shakes the room.
"What the fuck did you do to him?"
"Well, well, aren't you interested?" "Since we're playing 20 questions, I don't see any crime in telling you."
"I swear if you did anything to him, I'll fucking kill you."
Sebastian stops and looks at Jordan.
"You may have escaped the first time, but do you know what Matt did? He ran straight into my office."
Letting out a menacing chuckle, Sebastian continues in his dark tone.
"Because I've been dormant for so long, I required a person to practice my skills on."
His calm demeanor was now a vicious monotone.
"He begged for his life, and it didn't mean anything to me. All he did was talk. So I had to silence him."
Sebastian gestures a sewing and cutting motion with his hands.
"I sewed his mouth shut."
His voice changing to a menacing tone.
"I took a scalpel and removed the top of his skull, revealing his brain. I had never done anything like this, so I was just as surprised as he was when I saw it."
Fighting the urge to vomit, Jordan lets out,
"You bastard.
I took a sewing needle, taking the brain apart piece by piece. I had to get a memory of it."
Pointing to a curtain, Sebastian moves towards it.
"I took Madden's sight, killing him and bringing him back to life multiple times. But this portrait is my favorite."
Without remorse, Sebastian releases the curtain, revealing the contents behind it. Under it is a portrait of Matt. Chunks of brain matter lay on the floor. His arms lay in pieces, and the skin across his face is now bone and tendon. Jordan yells, nearly destroying his lungs.
"I'll fucking kill you. Do you hear me? I will fucking kill you. Just wait until I get out of here."
Waving his finger, Sebastian taunts him.
"No, no, no. You see, I'm going to kill you."
He strolls to the phone on his desk. With the phone in his hand, he pushes buttons, dialing for someone. A woman on the other end instantly picks up a sense of fear in her voice.
"Front desk, how can I help you, Headmaster?"
"I need you to send Dr. Irving up."
"She'll be up right away."
"Thank you."
He hangs up the phone, admiring his portraits along the wall. Jordan lets out a weak breath.
"I'm not gonna beg. If you're gonna kill me, just do it. At least I'll be free of this hellhole. You're one sick fuck, and I hope you get what's coming for you."
Before Sebastian could reply, the door opens, revealing a short woman wearing a white jacket with blonde hair and green eyes. She enters the room, a look of pity formed across her face. Sebastian opens his arms in joy.
"Ah, Dr. Irving, my friend, I'm glad you're here. Keep an eye on my patient as I grab the advanced tools, please."
In a soulless tone, she nods.
"Of course, Headmaster."
As soon as Sebastian leaves the room, she runs over to Jordan, grabbing the restraints across his hands, breaking them. Jordan looks at her, confused. In a shocked tone, he questions.
"What are you doing?"
Dr. Irving explains in an eager tone.
"Helping you escape. I'm not the only one who wants to leave this afterlife asylum."
Confusion fills his voice.
"How does helping me escape help you?"
"We know you weren't in the original explosion."
Dr. Irving's voice turns into a tone of help.
"It means your soul isn't bound to this place."
She points at him, holding back tears.
"You can kill the headmaster and destroy this place."
Jordan remembers the look of pain on Sebastian's face when he bit his finger. It now made sense. Sebastian can be hurt, and therefore killed, since he came here out of free will. The last restraint comes undone, causing Jordan to crumple onto the floor. He coughs blood from his mouth, spitting it onto the ground. Dr. Irving puts her arm over his shoulder, looking into Jordan's eyes, pleading with him.
"Please, you have to destroy this place. Destroy the boiler room in the basement. It's the only way this asylum can be destroyed."
She points to all the portraits.
"Their souls will be free. All of us trapped here will be free. Including you."
Jordan looks at her cautiously.
"Aren't you afraid of what will happen to you?"
Grim formality crosses Dr. Irving's face. She grabs Jordan's arm, ominously saying there's someone else in the boiler room. She pauses, thinking of all the terrors she has seen.
"Only Sebastian goes down to the basement. He says that's where his lost ones are. I don't know what they are, but I'm hoping none of us find out. This place is already full of terrors."
Listening to her words, Jordan rises to his feet, ready to leave, before seeing the portraits on the walls. He remembers Sebastian praising their worthiness to him. He looks at them, rubbing the tips of his fingers on one. Jordan grins at the portrait.
"First, Let me piss him off a little.
Jordan takes the portrait of Matt, smashing it onto the ground, destroying it. Dr. Irving stands there, shocked. Never had someone rebelled against Sebastian this much. Feeling a rush of excitement, she takes a portrait, tossing it against the wall, destroying it. She looks at Jordan with a mix of despair and sorrow.
We're wasting time. You need to get out of here and finish this. The door's at the end of the hall on the left. Free us from this hell.
Jordan nods and grabs a scalpel from the surgical table for extra measure, exiting the room. The feeling of being at the asylum for the first time flows through his bones at its appearance. Dim lights cover the halls, with tiny drops of water leaking from the roof. Death fills the air, and small gusts of wind blow across the hall. A tone of misery comes from the door ahead of him. It's not a voice he recognized, so maybe the odds were in his favor for once. He opens the door, revealing a man strapped onto a stainless table. Blood covers the man, creating a puddle underneath the wooden table he lays on. Open wounds were causing the man pain, yet he smiled, creating a sense of unease in the air. Looking closer, Jordan sees it to be Mr. Woodson. Cautiously, Jordan whispers from the door,
"Mr. Woodson, can you hear me?"
He shakes violently, moving the table left and right, blood spilling from the wounds as he stops, his eyes rolling back into his head as he says in a hazy voice,
"We don't live and we don't die."
Jordan enters the room, closing the door behind him. Taking slow steps, he asks again, this time with more confidence,
"Mr. Woodson, are you okay? Can you hear me?"
His appearance is now more transparent, nearly causing Jordan to vomit. Black holes fill where his eyes should be. A smell of molten flesh comes from his stomach. Mr. Woodson attempts to rise to a sitting position, but the glue keeps him attached to the table. As he moves, the sound of trickling blood onto the floor fills the area. Twitching, he turns, facing Jordan. With his half-sewn shut mouth, he says, brainwashed,
"He hurts us. He always hurts us. There is no freedom. There is no hope. Our pain is what keeps us alive. Without pain, there is no life. Without life, the pain will seize me. I mean nothing. I am nothing. I don't deserve the glory of a portrait."
Jordan keeps his distance and asks,
"What are you talking about? You're not making any sense."
"Who I am means nothing. I belong to the headmaster, and the headmaster only. Soon, you'll belong to him too. Go to the basement, find the lost ones, end this all. Kill me. Set me free."
"I can't do that. Please, you can't ask me to do something like that."
Hearing this, Mr. Woodson looks at Jordan. His face turns to madness.
"You must kill me. He'll be back. I can't handle any more of this."
Mr. Woodson again tries to rise from the table. The sound of flesh peeling from his back nearly made Jordan vomit. With panic, Jordan says to Mr. Woodson,
"I'm sorry, I can't help you right now. But soon you'll be free. I promise."
With those words, he exits the room. Sweat pours down his face as he looks across every corner for the basement door. A rush of urgency fills his body to the brim. All the pain he endured before was gone at the sight in front of him. The basement door was now in view. Sebastian hums in a leisurely tone, walking a surgical cart to his office, passing staff and patients. The nods and winks he gives them send shivers down the staff's spines. Outside the office, he puts on his mask, ready to finally kill Jordan. A satisfying grin forms on his face as he turns the knob to his office, entering it. Instantly, Sebastian lets go of the cart, dropping the items in his hands. All of Sebastian's portraits lay on the ground, cracked and ripped to pieces around the ground. A void of madness and destruction takes over Sebastian as he sees Dr. Irving reaching for one of the portraits, tearing it apart. In a fit of fury, he runs to her, grasping both his hands around her neck.
What have you done to my portraits?
The room nearly shakes from the rage scorching from his mouth. Dr. Irving spits at Sebastian, replying,
I'm doing what other people are afraid to do, and that's stopping you.
Violently, he throws her to the other side of the room. His muscles and veins are tense, his voice so loud and intimidating it would make anyone freeze in fear.
Do you know how long these took? How much they meant to me?
Struggling to get up, looking into the eyes of the madman as he strides towards her.
That's why I'm destroying them. Soon, Jordan will set all of us free.
Sebastian grips her by the neck again, letting out a scream of anger. He turns her head around, breaking her neck. Her body goes limp, killing her instantly. He carries the lifeless body across the room, exiting his office. The crashing sound of the office door makes the staff turn to Sebastian. Never have they seen him in a mood like this. He stretches out the limp body of Dr. Irving, extending it to his staff in a demanding tone.
Find Jordan Myers. Bring him to me. If you don't, this will be your fate.
The staff, knowing their lives are in danger, scamper across the asylum. Sebastian turns back to the office, seeing his portraits in the ruins. He puts his hands over his head, growling loudly.
I'll find you, you son of a bitch.
Steadily, he approaches a bookshelf, pulling it from the hinges, causing it to collapse. Behind it is a small room, revealing figures gathered together, staring at Sebastian. He points to the figures.
All of you out! You're to capture Jordan on sight.
They move to the entrance before one looks back and protests.
But Headmaster, didn't you want him alive?
Sebastian's hands wrap around the figure's head, squeezing it furiously. Suddenly, its head explodes like a watermelon, splattering black liquid across the room. The figure's body falls back, hitting the ground with a sickening thud. Sebastian glances over, noticing a black sealed envelope among the shattered glass. He opens it, revealing the content inside. A photo of Jacob and Sebastian in their younger days, wearing suits. He whispers under his breath, crushing the photo.
You brought him here to kill me, didn't you, old friend? I swear, if you're still in the asylum when this is over, I'll make you suffer until your last breath, Jacob.
Jordan reaches the basement, only to be welcomed by a horrendous smell in a dark room. He couldn't see anything, nor hear anything. Holding his nose, he reaches the last step, hearing someone groan in the distance. Jordan replies with a panic in his voice.
Who's there?
Another loud, distressing groan is what he gets in reply, accompanied by another. Within seconds, the room is deafening with vile sounds screaming in every corner. He glides along the wall, looking for a light, struggling to stay conscious. He feels a square panel, pushing it as hard as he can. Finally, light floods the room, revealing the horrifying sight in front of him. The humidity and heat coming from the basement make it feel like a giant stew pot simmering, a sickening stew of feces, blood, and urine. Soon, Jordan realizes that this isn't a basement. It is a torturing center, holding people in cells. Haunting moans and blood-curdling cries echo from every room. A glimpse through the prison bars reveals people covered with pus-filled cuts and jagged scars. Jordan could feel the filth squish under his feet, but didn't dare to look at what they were slogging in. Instead, he fixes his gaze upon the poor souls in each rusty cage. Some of them have bloody stumps instead of arms and legs. Others stand in deranged silence, gnawing on their shredded flesh. Another disfigured person sits in the corner, scratching his empty eye sockets with a screwdriver to draw something on the wall. A painful groan catches Jordan's attention. It comes from a man with an empty mouth. His gums, teeth, and tongue are missing. Nothing but an empty blob of skin remains. Above this man is a sign. Lost causes. The man groans again, pointing to the other side of him. On the wall behind Jordan are the words, "No more pain." It all makes sense now, what the lost causes are. The basement contains patients who no longer fear Sebastian or feel pain. Sebastian couldn't find a use for them or hurt them, since pain and fear don't exist in their minds. He keeps the ones he can't hurt in the basement. Abruptly, a sound comes above Jordan, causing him to stumble to the ground. The sound of a dragging limp, one that seemed all too familiar. The figures were coming. He looks at the groaning man.
"Where's the boiler room?"
he asks in desperation. Like a chorus, all the lost ones point to a small door in unison. Jordan dashes to the door, busting it down. The room entrance reveals a dark, steaming room with a sound of dragging footsteps coming from behind him. It was the figures. They were in the basement, knowing the danger of them. He hides behind a pipe. The figures walk towards one of the lost causes, grabbing their arms so hard you could hear the bones snap. It looks at the man, and in a silent, grisly tone, it asks,
"Where is Jordan?"
The lost one ignores the question, letting out a muffled tone.
"Don't you see? All you are is a lifeless husk. Soon you'll become one of us. You'll soon know your life isn't worth anything, even to the headmaster. When you do, he will have no use for you. You will become one of us."
The words catch the figures off guard, making them let go of the man. Anyone who didn't feel pain from Sebastian ended up down here. All at once, the truth of the basement comes across them. They were going to end up down here, no matter what. A sense of retaliation and surrender come across the figures, knowing this would be their fate. Jordan couldn't believe the figures were showing human emotion. He didn't even think of them as human, but whatever they are, no one deserves a fate like this. Slowly, he exits the boiler room, looking at them, proclaiming,
"He doesn't care for any of you. Sebastian doesn't care for anyone here. All he wants is pain and despair. I'm willing to stop this. Soon this place can be..."
He's cut off as the door is thrown open. Sebastian invades the room. His dark red eyes lock onto Jordan. With a crisp tone, he taunts.
"What an inspiring speech. It's touching indeed. I don't care for anyone here, including you, Jordan. There's nowhere to hide now. I'm going to kill you, and then I'll make the asylum mine once again."
One of the figures intervenes, grabbing his headmaster from behind. With a sharp instinct, Sebastian grabs the figure's arm, tearing it off in a single swipe. The figure falls to the ground, writhing in pain. In a betrayed tone, Sebastian screams,
"I've given you this gift, and this is how you treat me?"
Jordan recoils back into the corner, watching the figures turn into a defensive stance.
We're not afraid of you anymore, Headmaster.
Sebastian approaches the remaining figures with a grim walk, a monstrous look on his face.
Soon, you will be.
Jordan didn't know what to do. He was trapped, and the only other door was blocked by the commotion. It looks like the end, before a doctor jumps on Sebastian's back. A feeling of numbness runs throughout Sebastian's neck, the sense of failing muscles filling his body. He looks behind him to see a doctor injecting a black serum into his neck. Shaking the needle off his neck, he hears massive amounts of footsteps approach the basement door. Doctors and nurses flood the basement, stabbing needles into Sebastian, bringing him to his knees. The figures and Jordan watch in disbelief as the staff of Meadowbrook Asylum overpower their headmaster. No matter how hard he tries to fight them off, the drugs are now taking effect. Sebastian falls to the ground, coughing, looking at his staff weakly, saying between coughs,
"You can't kill me. I'll be up soon, and when I do, I will end you all."
A doctor comes from the group, staring at Sebastian's burnt, pale face. He points to Jordan. The words from Dr. Irving come to Jordan's mind that he can kill him. He takes the scalpel from his pocket he stole from the office, shuffling to Sebastian. Two doctors tackle Sebastian, restraining him. Gently, Jordan rubs the blade across the madman's neck. In a weak tone, Sebastian replies, laughing.
"Go ahead. Do it."
Jordan stares into Sebastian's soulless eyes, whispering to him,
"You told me once, you're what makes hell here. Well, you aren't anymore. Let me show you what hell really feels like."
He slices the scalpel across Sebastian's neck, swiftly causing him to fall to the ground. Blood squirts as the eyes from the headmaster turn lifeless. Jordan smiles, knowing Sebastian, the headmaster of Meadowbrook Asylum, is now dead. The staff stare at his motionless body, not knowing what to say. For the first time, everyone was free. Tears stream down their faces as the realization of freedom sets in. The doctor from the crowd approaches Sebastian.
You've killed him. I can't believe it. He's dead.
Jordan questions the man's statement.
He's dead, right? This isn't a trick, is it? I've seen what he can do.
The doctors nod with acknowledgement.
Yes. Let's finish this quickly, then.
He leads Jordan to the boiler room, signaling him to enter. The staff heads to each of the Lost One's cells, opening them, freeing them. Smiles replace the flat expressions they once had. Jordan enters the boiler room with the doctor. A noise of working machinery fills the room. Ancient mechanisms fill the room, with steam exiting from each one. In a prominent tone, he asks,
"How do we destroy this room?"
The doctor stares at a wheezing gas pump, breaking off one of the pipes, creating a gas leak. At the corner of the room is a golden lighter. Jordan walks over to the lighter, igniting it, showing it could work. He holds the lighter, stepping to the other room, chattering to the staff.
"With this, I will free you from this place. I can destroy the boiler room and send you to the afterlife you deserve. If anyone doesn't want this, speak now."
Everyone remains silent, giving the signal to destroy the asylum. Jordan approaches the pump, putting the lighter beside it, letting out a spark that creates a fire. The staff members rise, eyeing the fire. Some sit there, watching in awe as others open their arms and walk towards it. A faint blue essence exits each person as they touch the flame. their bodies turned to ash, making the flame grow. Jordan could barely open his eyes as the flames approached him. He didn't know what would happen. Would the flames engulf him? Would he die? Would he come back to his physical body? He didn't know, but there was only one way to find out. He sits there, smiling, accepting his fate, throwing the lighter into the fire, destroying the asylum's purgatory, freeing the souls. Jordan coughs, awaking on the asylum's cold floor. He looks at it, recognizing its destroyed features. He was now back in his world. Struggling to his feet, Jordan leans against the room, yelling across the asylum.
Jacob, where are you?
He receives no answer, making him nervous. Jordan's vision adjusts to the dark, seeing Jacob looking at the wall where the portraits were. Except this time, they're gone. The gruesome images were gone. The figures were no longer in the room. Jacob turns to Jordan. A sense of calm comes through his voice.
You did it, kid. Whoever was there can now rest in peace.
Jordan rises to his feet, matching the gaze of Jacob, confused.
So, what happens now?
Jacob breathes as tears start to form.
Honestly, I don't know. I brought you here to destroy the portrait world. You've done what I asked. Did you find out what happened to your friend?
Jordan puts his head down, staying quiet. Jacob drags himself over to Jordan, patting his back.
I'm sorry, but there's nothing you could have done. His sacrifice wasn't in vain.
What do you mean?
Jordan asks. Replying in a graceful tone, Jacob points to all corners of the room.
The figures you saw before you entered the portrait world disappeared. When you destroyed the asylum's purgatory, they disappeared, rescuing them from their prison. Without Sebastian or the asylum, no one can control them, meaning they're now free. They can finally rest in peace.
Jordan smiles at the comment.
Now that it's over, what will you do?
Jacob lowers his head, downhearted.
Well, there's only one thing I can do from now on. I need to destroy this place. There are still people who know what happened here. This place doesn't deserve to live.
He stares out the window, putting his hand against it.
Well, I've done many things I'll have to answer for when I die. But there's still one thing I can do to redeem myself. While you were in the portrait world, the figures helped me lace the place with gasoline. I'm going to burn Meadowbrook to the ground. It's time for me and the asylum to join Sebastian.
Jordan turns to the exit before looking at Jacob one final time.
Thank you. I could have never done this without you.
With those final words, he exits the asylum, watching the sight of orange flames grow. He walks away, knowing it's over. Jordan's friends may be gone, but he knew one thing for sure. Meadowbrook Asylum is gone, and the souls that were damned could finally rest.